Joshua, the sixth chapter is where I want to begin reading from the book of Joshua, the sixth chapter. A very familiar passage of scripture that we have here in Joshua chapter number 6. In verse number 16, let's begin there. And it came to pass at the seventh time when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. Verse number 20. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. So that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Verse number 25. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel, even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. I want you to listen to that last part there. Because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. This is what I want to preach from tonight, and this is a very large topic that I want to try to talk to us about, but I want to preach on faith. That's what I want to preach about tonight is faith. You may be seated. Thank you for standing for the reading of the Word of the Lord. The Bible said in James 2 and 25, likewise also was Rahab the harlot justified. How was she justified? By works. When she had received the messengers and sent them out another way. Then verse 26 says, for faith without works is dead. In Hebrews chapter 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. There is something about that every man is given a specific measure of faith, I suppose, from reading the scriptures, that we all are given some measure of this idea of faith, that we can receive that grace of God, that we can inherit great unsearchable riches that are in Christ Jesus. But there's two kinds of faith, and I believe that people sometimes do not understand, and sure enough, do not put this into action. But there is a profession of faith, and I'm glad for those that profess faith. But on the flip side of the coin, if you please, there is a practicing of that faith. That there is a work that is to be done by the faith that you have. Now we read here that this woman Rahab, that she was justified by works. It was by her faith put into action. I'm glad for those that have a profession that they believe something, but I'm very much grateful for those that put it into practice. There was a preacher years ago in southern Ohio. Brother Gordon was a great preacher. He never got out and preached too much, and this might have been the reason why. He was known for a great message that he preached on, and the topic was faith. And they called him, I believe, to come to Richlands at one time to preach that great message that he had on faith. Brother Bill Addis heard him preach that great message on faith. And boy, he could really, really put it over the top. And Brother Addis asked him, he said, Brother Gordon, if I could preach like that, I believe I would go full time on the evangelistic field. And Brother Gordon's response was, I'm afraid I just couldn't make it. Well, there's a bunch of people like that, that just have a profession of faith, but they never put it into practice. I preached for a man years ago, whenever I first started out. Been preaching now for 10 years in the double digits of my ministry. And I was about 16 or 17 years old and preached for a brother in Bristol, Virginia on Key Street in Bristol some time back. And he would get up and he would read, and he would even take a text to preach a little bit. And he would get up behind the pulpit and he would read his text. And then he would turn back and he would preach at the wall the whole time that the congregation was sitting out there. Well, when he would call on somebody in his congregation to sing, They would get up and they would sing to the wall. They'd never look at the people that they were singing to. Hey, I want you to know tonight, I don't just want to say it. I want to see what I'm preaching. I don't want to just have a profession of faith, but I want to know how to put faith into practice. There is a practicing of faith that we must put it into works. I'm glad for the professors that we have. And we've got a lot of professors. We've got a lot of folks that are professing that they have faith in this. That they have great amounts of mountain loads of faith in something. But whenever the least little thing comes their way, they seem to shy away from putting that great amount of faith into practice. I want to preach tonight, if God would help me, on this idea of faith. One man said that faith is able to achieve that which looks unachievable. It is something that is like an anchor. It takes hold of the unseen. It takes a grip on the bottom. It is tested by the tempest. And thanks be to God for this. It grows stronger with the more strain that you put on it. By faith we believe the unbelievable. We perceive the unperceivable. And thanks be to God, we achieve the unachievable. Oh, I want to tell us tonight, there's something about this idea of faith. Can y'all see me behind this here tonight? I'm worried I might be a little bit taller than that. This idea of having faith in God and putting this faith into practice. William Booth, the story of William Booth is so amazing to me. This is how he started his ministry. And I suppose some of the greatest messages and some of the greatest preaching that you will ever come in contact with will be birthed out of the greatest and darkest trials that man could ever face. William Booth was in a large congregation, and every year they gave out specific duties and specific tasks for the coming year for the congregants to take part in. When it came time for William Booth and his wife, I believe her name was Elizabeth, to come time for them to receive their duties, they was told by the leadership that they was not well equipped enough to do any assignment in the church. In front of the whole entire congregation, they was told that they were not well equipped enough to do any assignment in the church. How embarrassing would that be? He and his wife went back and sat down. His wife looked at him and said, "What are we going to do now?" He looked at his wife and he said, "We don't need them. All we need is God." You know, it would do us a whole lot of good if we forget about what everybody else thinks about us. And all we need at the beginning of each day is to have God on our side. Oh yes, William Booth would reach 250 million souls for the gospel of Jesus Christ. They asked William Booth, "What is the great ingredient to your success?" He said, "The only thing I know to say is that William Booth is not able to do anything, but God is able to do anything through William Booth." I want to tell us tonight, Bethany, you're not able to do it in your own power. You're not able to do it in your own strength, but through the power of God in heaven, you are able to take hold of faith and watch it come to pass. Would you shout amen? Oh yes. Through faith, we're able to accomplish great things for God. Now, the text that I read to us tonight is a familiar passage of scripture in the book of Joshua, We read where the leadership of Moses passes off the scene and Joshua comes to the forefront. And there he's to be the leader of God's people. And sometimes we discount this man Joshua, Brother Darrell, because we think that Moses was this great man of faith and power. And no doubt Moses was that type of character. I mean, Moses was the one that was the great liberator from the years of bondage down in Egypt. He led his congregation through 40 years in the wilderness. But I want you to listen to what happens to the leader Joshua. I seem to think that maybe Joshua was just as great a leader, if not a better leader than Moses. Because at the end of Joshua, we read these words, that the children of Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. Did you know Moses did not get that report card? I mean, they all backslid and God had to kill them all in the leadership of Moses. But this man, Joshua, that God anointed to be the leader. Joshua, every place at the sole of your foot shall stand upon is going to be yours. Joshua, there's a great land of promise that is ahead of you and your congregation. Joshua, there's exceedingly great and precious promises that await you in the land of Canaan. Joshua, there's better things ahead, but you've got to go forward. Now, Joshua goes forward. God performs miracle after miracle. We come to the second chapter of Joshua. And there, before that they can taste of the milk and the honey, and before they can eat fully at the table of the Lord, there they are met with the great walled cities of Jericho. There lies before them the great walls of the city of Jericho. Now we hear a lot today about walls. Donald Trump's wanting to build walls, and to be honest with you, it doesn't sound like too bad of an idea. But you ought to be careful in this business of building walls. Because you see what people think walls are used for is to keep the enemy from penetrating or invading their area or their space. And that's a good thing. That's been used in military strategic tactics for many years. But nevertheless, on the same token, the same walls that are used to keep the enemy from invading can also become the same walls that keep people in captivity. Did you get that? The same walls that was built to keep the enemy from coming in have now become the same walls that keeps its inhabitants prisoners. That's where we meet Rahab the harlot. Before the judgment of God is to fall, before the wrath of God is to fall on this city of Jericho, before the walls would come tumbling down and God would wipe out and he would curse that city entirely. Before all of that happened, Brother James, God sent two messengers into that city for one soul. For one soul. What's the type of person that God is interested in tonight? He's interested in the business of saving one single forgotten soul. Her name that she'd be called by throughout all the scriptures, Rahab the harlot. Somebody you would never want your children to hang around. Somebody that you would never want to invite over to your house for dinner. Somebody that you would never want to be caught with in town. Somebody that you would never ever give the time of day to. Somebody that you thought was never going to be any good. Somebody you thought that God could never use. That's the person that God sent two preachers in to rescue. Isn't it amazing how God can look over top of the walls that people build and sees on the inside? All I see is a harlot Rahab through the eyes of the flesh. But through the eyes of God, He sees the great grandmother of David. There, through the eyes of God, He sees by faith Rahab the harlot perish not. Are you getting this tonight? I want to tell you, you might forget about them. You might have gave up on them. They're living behind the walls. You might think they're never going to be any good. But by the eyes of faith, God sees what they can be. He sees what they can accomplish. Through the eyes of faith, God can use them. So many times we give up on people that's living behind these walls. Let me talk to us tonight about these walls. People build walls. I've never seen nothing like it. We build so many walls sometimes. I watched it happen. I guess I've been busier this year than I've ever been in my whole life. And I've watched it happen more and more. The churches here in the States, since the Supreme Court has passed this same-sex marriage and is allowing it to happen in our courthouses, I've watched as the churches, right in our own holiness movement, where good people have put their head down and thought to themselves, we're doomed for judgment. There is no hope living behind these walls. I mean, more and more, Brother Darrell, we're watching as good people come to service after service. We spend thousands of dollars in our camp meetings. We spend hundreds of dollars in our revivals. And we hang our heads low. And we think there's no way that God can get any glory out of what's going on. I understand your concerns. I understand them completely. But understand that yes, I know the skies are dark. And yes, I know the days are wicked. But let's have a little bit of faith and let's believe what God is able. I wish you'd help me while I preach. Let's realize that God has not changed, that His word has never failed, that God never gives up on anybody. Let's believe again. Let's have faith one more time that the Lord is able to help us. We built walls. We've built walls. Walls. No more revival. Let's build up a wall. Forget about missionary efforts. Let's build up a wall to keep what we've got. Let's build up a wall. Let's forget about the preaching of the word anymore. Let's build up a wall. Let's just keep it us four and no more. Tonight, you've got the wrong idea about what God is doing. We build up these walls, and it's hard to break through. You've got folks that's battled with bitterness for years. They've battled with hatred for years. They've battled with ups and downs for years. And the one thing about these walls is they're just getting a little bit taller every time you see them. They look a little bit more sour. They look a little bit more upset. They look a little bit more different. Whenever you lay eyes on them, something is different. They've got walls that's built up around them, and nobody can get to them. I want you to know, there came a day in the city of Jericho where the Bible says none came in and none came out. You know what that means? That means that's perfect scenario for God to do what He does best. Hey, you might think tonight there's no way that these walls are ever going to come down. But by faith, the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. But for this woman, Rahab, and this is my main meat of the message right here. If you really want to get out of these walls, and there's something about Rahab I think that we miss a lot of the times. She was the only person in the whole city of Jericho that we read about that didn't perish. The harlot was the only one that didn't die with everybody else in the city of judgment. This woman... out of the entire city of Jericho. I mean, there's only one household, one woman that's got enough sense to realize things are bad and they're going to get worse. But these two messengers, these two preachers that's come down to my house. And this is where we miss it at. Whenever Brother Daryl Tolliver knocks on the door of your heart, when he's preaching the Word of God, and you shut it out. Are you getting this tonight? This woman, Rahab, and her household would have never been saved if she would not have opened the doors to those preachers. What makes you think that you're going to make it out without listening to what the Word of God is? What gives you the notion that you think that you're the only one, that you are the exception to the rule, that even though the Word of God is knocking at the door and the Word of God has come down your street, you refuse to let Him in and think you're going to be spared? I beg to differ with your thinking. You're going to perish with them that believe not unless you open the doors of your heart to hear what the Spirit saith. Oh God, let us hear what the Spirit says again, Lord. If it's a rebuke, I've got to hear it. If it's a word of correction, I've got to hear it. I've got to open my heart to the Word of God. Oh, God of heaven. Oh, y'all's quiet tonight. Walls are built. They're getting taller and taller and taller. But somewhere behind these walls, it's built so tall, God sends messages after messages, revivals after revivals, to speak to you. It's time for you to get the right ingredients in your house. It's time for you to get the right kind of faith in your house. It's time for you to believe what the power of God can do one more time. Oh, church, we've got to believe one more time that there's still power in the message of the Lord. We've got to believe one more time that there's still power in the great book of God. We've got to believe one more time that the Word of God will always see us through. We've got to have faith in the Word of the Lord. Not only does she have faith in the book, but they told her This was a message. This is the message. Now, Rahab, the book is, the word of God is, that you must do this. You must bind this line of scarlet thread through the window. And whenever we come to storm this city, when we see that scarlet thread that's there in the window, you're going to have to get justified by faith. And your faith is going to have to be in some kind of works. Now listen, I'm not one of these that preach that you are saved by works alone. I don't believe that. You're justified by the faith that's in God. But the justification by faith will turn into a faith that's put into practice, a faith that's got some works behind it, some prayers that's got some legs on them. Oh God, give us a faith where we work in it. She has faith in the book. Secondly, she has faith in the blood. The scarlet cord that hung down the window. You know what that signifies? That signifies there's a fountain open in the house of David for sin and uncleanliness. You know what that symbolizes? That symbolizes the blood of Jesus Christ that would be shed for the sins of Rahab the harlot. You know what that signifies? That signifies that when the blood's over the doorpost, that your children will be spared, that your household will not perish. You've got to get some works behind this thing. You're going to have to believe the blood again. You're going to have to plead the blood of Jesus one more time. You've got to have faith in the blood. October of 92 in Killeen, Texas. You probably heard this story where a crazed gunman came in, wrecked his car into a Luby's cafeteria, opened up fire, and killed 20 some odd people, I believe, that was there. You folks remember that story? There was one black girl that survived that mass shooting. Whenever television crews and news reporters arrived on the scene, they asked her, they said, "How come you're the only one that survived this great massacre today?" She said, "I was standing in line waiting to get my food whenever this catastrophe happened and this crazy guy got out and opened up fire on everybody. He went to the person left of me and he fired away. When he put his gun on me, all I knew to do was what my mother told me to do. When you're in a time of trouble, plead the blood. When you're in a time of need, plead the blood. I believe in the blood of Jesus." She said, I said the words out loud. "The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus." And he turned his gun and went to somebody else. Hey church, I want to preach to us tonight. We've got to have faith one more time in the blood of Jesus. We've got to remember there's still power in the blood of Jesus. The blood, it delivers. I said the blood, it still works. The blood still brings life. The blood still brings revival. Would you lift your hands and give God a shout of praise for the blood? Glory. 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 It's the blood, Brother Troy. It's the blood. It's the blood of Jesus that's hanging like a scarlet cord through the window. Can I preach to us what this scarlet cord was able to do? Not only was it red and scarlet in its color for the actual blood that Christ would shed, but this line was strong enough to hold men as they went down the wall. I want to tell you, the power of the Holy Ghost by the blood of the Lamb is still strong enough to carry the weight of the world on his shoulders. I tell you, the blood is still able to do what man cannot do. The blood is still able to reach where we cannot reach. We need to have faith in the blood. Faith in the blood. Finally, The blockade. Y'all been waiting for. Point three, final point. The blockade. Whenever the children of Israel came and they stormed the city of Jericho, when God gave Rahab this promise that her household would be spared if she had faith and she put that faith into practice and faith into works, she had to wait, Brother Darrell, four chapters for this promise to be fulfilled. I mean, God done miracles in the meantime for somebody else. God done this and that for Joshua and the children of Israel. And there Rahab was, just like somebody in this building is tonight. Just like somebody in this house tonight. You wake up every morning and all you see is the blockade. All you see is the walls. You look up every day for four chapters, and all you see, hey, I ain't never going to get out of this. Things ain't ever going to change. It don't look like things are ever going to get any better. That's exactly where a lot of our people are here in this building tonight. It don't look like that God is ever going to intervene. He's intervened for others. Just the other day, God intervened for this person, but He didn't intervene for me. And we look up and all we see is the walls that we cannot get over. The Bible says Rahab's house was built on the town wall. It was almost like this woman was doing everything in her ability to get over something that she had no power to get above. And for four chapters, she waits. But the Bible says that the children of Israel were to compass about the city of Jericho for 7 days. Now, the thing about this, we get this mixed up a little bit. Part of the time, a lot of us think whenever they was marching around the walls, they was screaming and they was shouting. And they was just walking. They wasn't shouting at all. The sounds didn't come until the seventh day. And I can imagine as she waits for four chapters by faith. Here comes the first day. And what she hears is a little bit different than the sounds from the other side of that wall yesterday. Because I hear the sound of footsteps. But I still see the walls. Here she comes the second day. The third day. The fourth day. I don't know what God's getting ready to do. But could it be that somebody in this building tonight is just 2 days away from your walls coming down? Could it be that somebody in this building tonight is 1 day away from these walls coming down? What she heard was the sound of footsteps. She couldn't see over top of the walls that had her bound, but she could hear the sound of people marching. It was the sound of God about ready to work. I feel like I'm preaching in this building tonight. We walk by faith and not by sight. We're not going by the temporal. We're going by the supernatural. Could it be that you're 1 day away from the walls are coming down? Somebody needs to lift their hands to God in faith tonight and say, Lord, bring it down. Stand with me all over this house tonight. Stand with me all over this place tonight. Too many people give up on the sixth day. Whenever they're 1 day away, one more day of having the scarlet thread in the window, That faith by works that's going to bring you out of what you're in right now. You could be one day away. I don't know if... Somebody please come to the music, please. Whenever God gives us a test, Brother Todd, He doesn't tell us, now, Brother Todd Sloggett, this test is going to last 5 months and 29 days, and then it'll be over with. But sometimes we give up on 5 months and 29 days. Whenever we're one day away from God doing the miraculous. Somebody in this building tonight might just be one shout away, one prayer away from that prayer that's been availing much. Just one day away. I'm going to bring us to an altar right here. Beginning of this year, I always have a little calendar that I carry with me, Brother Darrell, and I always mark the places that I've preached in, what I've preached on, and if anything significant happened in that service. And always have a little motto that I put at the front of that. Last year I put the motto there, He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. A couple years ago I had that scripture, All things are possible to him that believeth. This year I was in revival, unexpected revival. Went 4 weeks in that meeting in Western Kentucky. God was working. I was in prayer up there at the evangelist quarters, and I thought, Lord, I know I'm in a good meeting right now, and you seem to be giving me the right message to preach to these people. We're having results. But God, I'm awful discouraged right in the midst of this revival that we're having. I thought, what am I going to write down at the front of this calendar? And that's why I wrote down these words. Sooner or later, God is going to come to David Eldridge, and things are going to be better than he could have ever imagined. Signed, David Eldridge. Sometimes you just got to encourage yourself in the Lord. Let's lift our hands right now over this house. Ask God to help us in this building as we make a move in this altar. Begin to play and sing something right now. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I thank you. Let's fall on this altar right now, folks. Let's come to this altar right now. You could be one day away. Let's keep the faith. Let's believe God. Let's believe God one more day. Let's hang out that scarlet line, that scarlet thread. Oh, yes, Lord. Let's believe God one more hour. Let's believe God one more time. Oh, Lord, we believe you, Lord.
Peter looked at him and said, Lord, will you come to thee?
One more day. Things may change.
Trusted in his holy word by faith.
The angels may be marching on their sixth day. The recruitments from heaven are about ready to take down the walls. You're going to live. You're not going to perish, but you're going to be delivered. You're going to live. You're going to see another day. I praise you, Father. I thank you, Lord. Let's walk on in faith, church.
Jesus said, come unto me. Quickly started out. But when he looked upon the waves, he soon began to doubt.
Oh, God, open up the windows of heaven at Bethany.
God said, oh, Lord,
Lord,
save
help
me
Brother Darrell
faith.
And Sister April. Give an increase of faith in this church. Oh, God, give them an increase of faith. Oh, God, help them to build this building. Help them, Lord, my provider. Oh, God, you're going to do it, Lord, for Bethany. You're going to do it, Lord, like you've always done it. You're going to work again. You're a working right now. Through the eyes of faith, we can believe it. The eyes of faith, see it. Hallelujah.
So if you're sinking in despair, there's no comfort anywhere. My faith, step out of Jesus is there. Jesus walked upon the waves of rugged Galilee. Peter looked at him and said, Lord, let me come to thee.
He going to give us another increase of faith.
Upon the Lord, trusted in His holy word.
Sooner or later, God's going to come to you. I said, sooner or later, God's going to come to you.
By faith, He walked upon the
Lord. We're going to get over this.